Chapter 10. I got up the ladder in time to hear a car door shut outside my apartment. I'd lost my 357 during a battle between the fairy courts hosted on clouds over Lake Michigan the previous midsummer, so I'd moved my 44 from the office to home. It hung on a gun belt on a peg beside the door, just over a wire basket I'd attached to the wall. Holy water, a couple cloves of garlic, vials of salt, and iron filings filled the basket, intended to be door prizes for anything that showed up in an attempt to suck my blood, carry me off to fairyland, or sell me stale cookies. The door itself was reinforced steel and could stand up to punishment better than the wall around it. I'd had a demon come a-knocking before, and I didn't want an encore performance. I couldn't afford new furniture, even second-hand. I belted on the gun, shook out my shield bracelet, and took up my staff and blasting rod. Anything that came through my door would have to contend with my threshold, the aura of protective energy around any home. Most supernatural things didn't do so well with thresholds. After that, they'd have to force their way past my wards, barriers of geometrically aligned energy that would block out physical or magical intrusion, turning that energy back upon its source. A small, gentle push at my wards would result in a similar push against whatever was trying to get in. A swift or heavy push would result in more energy feeding back onto the attacker. Within the wards were sigils of fire and ice, which were designed to deliver bursts of destructive energy about as powerful as your average landmine. It was a solid and layered defense. With luck, it should be enough to stop a considerable amount of threat from even reaching my door. And since I'm such a lucky guy, I took a deep breath, pointed my blasting rod at the door, and waited. It didn't take long. I expected flashes of magical discharge, demon howls, maybe some kind of pyrotechnics as evil magic clashed against my own defensive spells. Instead, I got 7 polite knocks. I peered at the door suspiciously and then asked, "Who's there?" A low, rough man's voice growled, "The Archive." What the hell? The Archive who? Evidently, the speaker didn't have a sense of humor. "The Archive," the voice repeated firmly. "The Archive has been appointed emissary in this dispute and is here to speak to Wizard Dresden about the duel." I frowned at the door. I vaguely remembered mention of an archive of some sort during the last White Council meeting I'd attended as a neutral party. At the time, I'd assumed it had been some sort of arcane library. I'd had other things on my mind at the time, and I hadn't been listening too closely. "How do I know who you are?" There was a rasp of paper on stone, and an envelope slid under my door, one corner poking out.
"Documentation, Wizard Dresden," the voice replied. "And a pledge to abide by the laws of hospitality during this visit."
Some of the tension left my shoulders and I lowered the gun. That was one good thing about dealing with the supernatural community. If something gave you its word, you could trust it. Within reason. Then again, maybe that was just me. Of all the things I'd encountered, I'd been more of a weasel about keeping my word than any of them. Maybe that's why I was leery about trusting someone else. I picked up the envelope and unfolded a sheet of plain paper certifying that its bearer had been approved by the White Council to act as emissary in the matter of the duel. I passed my hand over it and muttered a quick charm with the last password I'd gotten from the wardens, and in response, a brief glowing pentacle appeared, centered on the paper like a bioluminescent watermark. It was legit. I folded the paper closed again, but I didn't set my rod and staff aside just yet. I undid the deadbolt, muttered my wards back, and opened the door enough to see outside. A man stood on my doorstep. He was nearly as tall as me, but looked a lot more solid, with shoulders wide enough to make the loose black jacket he wore fit tightly on his upper arms. He wore a navy blue shirt and stood so that I could see the wrinkles caused by the straps of a shoulder rig. A black ball cap reined in dark golden hair that might have fallen to his shoulders. He hadn't shaved in a few days and had a short white scar below his mouth that highlighted the cleft in his chin.
His eyes were gray-blue and empty of any expression in a way I had seldom seen. Not like he was hiding what he felt, more like there was simply nothing there.
Dresden? He asked.
Yeah, I eyed him up and down. You don't look very archive-esque.